This has been your first 2 days of college. I just wanted to give it up if it's been your first 2 days of college. And that means that some of you are experiencing a phenomenon for the first time known as having a roommate. And let's go. We're just diving right in. And it is a wonderful and potentially fraught experience. I subscribe to the philosophy that you should never live with someone that you're not related to, because you just never can give your best to the people that you live with, because you work hard all day to like do your best and then you get home and you just can't keep it up anymore. But if I ask some of you guys that are experiencing a roommate for the first time, if I say, tell me, who is your roommate? You could tell me all kinds of things about them, where they're from, what kind of toothpaste they like to use. Now you can see what their interior decorating sense is like. But you will only actually find out who your roommate really is and what they're really like by actually living with them. At the end of the semester, if I say, who's your roommate, you could offer all kinds of commentary on what they're really like to be around. And what we're doing in REF this semester is we're going to do the same thing, but with Jesus, and say, what is this person like? Who is Jesus? And in the Gospel of John, there's these four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're these eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. And Jesus, seven times in John, says, I am something. He tells us who he is. Like, he answers our question, who is Jesus? And he says, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. And what I'm hoping that we can do is that we can together explore and live, in a sense, live with Jesus together. And I want to invite you to, like, some of you feel like, I came to RUF and I was looking for something like, I came to college and I was looking for something like RUF. And you might be like, well, I know Jesus. I know who he is. And some of you are like, I actually don't know a lot at all about Jesus. And I want to invite all of us to sort of try and as much as we can to start fresh and imagine that we are sort of meeting this person named Jesus for the first time and explore him together. So I'm going to read a passage from John chapter 6. It is in the slides, but you, for thousands of years, people got the Bible by listening to someone read it out loud. So I'd encourage you can just listen. What's just happened, if you don't know much about Jesus, you probably know he's famous for doing several things. One thing that Jesus is famous for having done is when there was a crowd of thousands of people taking five small loaves of bread and two fish and somehow miraculously feeding the thousands of people that were there. And Jesus is sort of famous for walking on water. You may have heard about that one before as well. And those two things are what happens right before what we're about to read. Jesus is with this huge crowd. They don't have food. He feeds them miraculously by multiplying this food. And then his disciples leave on a big lake and at night. And then randomly, he just comes walking up to them on the water. And this is the next morning after that. The crowd comes around. They come on boats and they find him. And it says this in John 6. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi or teacher, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, okay, he says, that, you know, don't work for food that spoils, work for the food. They asked him, what must me do to do the works that God requires? Okay, what is the work that God wants us to do? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? Like, what sign are you going to do to, you know, convince us? He did just feed thousands of people, but they've maybe forgotten. It was yesterday. What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. They're like, you got some heavenly bread? That sounds good. I liked the bread yesterday. This one sounds even better. Give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Anyone comes to Jesus, he will receive them. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but will raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I'm going to pray for us as we consider this word from God. I invite you to take a moment to settle in God's presence. Lord, our Maker, Lord, we praise you that we can gather here tonight. And Lord, I praise you that you are present here with us, that you are nearer to each of us than our own souls. Lord, regardless of what we think about you or think about ourselves, you love us deeply, each of us. Every person in this room you have made, and you love deeply. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for this invitation to find life in you. And I pray that as we explore who you are, you would meet us, even right now, where we sit, that you would make yourself real to us. I thank you for the courage for these sisters and brothers to gather here tonight, and pray that you would meet them and me with much joy. I pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So you made it out here tonight to RUF, and no doubt there was a lot of reasons why you came out. Some, you might be counting several reasons why you might not come back next week, because I didn't know we were sitting on the floor, you know? But that's just a tradition at Wake Forest RUF, which I love. But the question that I want to pose with you is really the question that Jesus is asking these crowds. And that's, what do you want from God? What is it that you want God to do for you? Or why you would come into a space like this where there's so many other amazing things going on tonight? Why come here and hear about Jesus? We come into spaces like this for lots of reasons. Each of us do. And many of them are very practical. Like, I came here because I want to make friends. I come to RUF, or I go to Mass, or I go to church, or I go to another campus ministry because I want to find meaning, or I want a strong value system. I want to develop my spiritual health, you know, my physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. We want to, all the healths to be the healthiest healths they can be. That we might come to these spaces because it's a tradition for us. And so it feels like home for us to be in these spaces. We might want to just come to God so that he will bless us. Because, like, he gives out good things and bad things, and I want to get good things from him. Those are all good and beautiful reasons to come into a space like this, very practical. And it's exactly what these crowds are doing as well. If you heard at the beginning, these people come looking for Jesus, and they're like, when did you get here? He doesn't mention, well, I actually walked across the water to get here. Bet you didn't see that coming. But he just says immediately, and it sounds kind of intense, but he's like, you know, look, I know why you're here. You're not here because you saw these miracles that I performed and you're like wondering about God. You're here because I made bread appear out of nowhere and you're like, that's a person I want to be around. It's like all thousands of people sat down and he's like, we only have two perfect junior year internships to go around. And then somehow everyone got a perfect junior year internship. And you're like, I am curious how this guy can give me more good internship opportunities. He said, you're here because you ate the bread. You're here because there was something that I could do for you. But you're not sort of asking the deeper questions. Now, it sounds a little intense that Jesus starts out that way, but he's really like us. I mean, why do you want people to want to be around you? You know, think about that. Like for friends or like a potential romantic partner, why do you want to be wanted? Like, do you want to be the friend that's wanted because, like, you can give rods from polo, you know, on Friday night? Because I don't know if pledge drivers are situated yet, but you can give rides, you know. Like, do you want to be the friend that's like, this person can help me with my homework? And that's why you're wanted by everyone in, you know, Angelou Hall, is because you can help with their homework. I mean, do we want to be wanted by someone simply because we are beautiful? And because we are alluring to look at? Or do we simply want to be wanted because we're going to have a high earning potential when we get out of college? And somebody wants to be with somebody that has a high earning potential? No, I mean, of course not. We want people to look at those things and to be drawn to them and then to see us, right? To see us for who we really are and to actually say, you know what? Thank you for helping me with my homework. Also, you're awesome and I like you even when you're not helping me with my homework, right? Jesus is really saying the same thing. He's saying, what I want you to do is I want you to see these signs, this miracle with the bread, and to let it allow you to be curious about who I am and what I'm really offering to you. So what do you want from God? What do you come into this space at the beginning of the semester wanting? And what is Jesus offering to us? I'm fascinated by these stories. I think they're amazing. Because what Jesus is saying, he's like, you wanted me for the bread, but I want to give you something better than that. He says, I want to give you myself. The secret with Jesus is he's never like offering you things. Like, if you come with Jesus, things are going to be better. You're going to feel like a more well-adjusted person. If that's the case, then I'm in deep sin and away from Jesus because I'm feeling less well-adjusted by the day. Jesus is offering himself. He's saying, look, don't work for a food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life. And then when they keep asking, what is this food? He says, it's me. I mean, what meaning does bread have? If you think about bread as an object, it has no meaning outside of eating it. And Jesus says, that's me. I'm the bread of life. He's offering himself to us. He's offering life with God to us. And what's interesting to me is I could actually feel in the room if I say, he's offering life with God, everyone's like, it's a little bit of a yawn. Because we're like, eternal life, I'm trying to deal with college right now, and you're talking about things that are just going to happen later. And I think that's where we kind of miss Jesus. Jesus is offering himself. He's offering you eternal life. And that means two things. And the two things that Jesus is doing are two ways that Jesus is just like the pit salad bar. Okay? Thank you, Lauren. There is no one in this room that loves the pit more than me. Okay. I almost wore my I heart the pit. I will fight anybody that thinks they like the pit more than me. But here's two ways that Jesus is like the pit salad bar as he offers life to you. The first is this. A strange quirk of working for RUF at Wake Forest is that a long, long time ago, someone gave money to RUF that's literally just for the pit. And it's like a lot of money. And so me and Slayton and Sarah Jane and whomever in the decades to come that works for RUF will always eat in the pit for free. And it is a blessing. It is the greatest job perk that exists. So every time that I walk into the pit and I swipe in, it's amazing. I did absolutely nothing to get these swipes. I didn't pay for them. You might feel like this. My mom and daddy put these swipes on my thing and I swipe in here. And at the end of the semester, you might be like, I wish they put a few more on there as well.
Retweet.
Retweet that, yeah. Life with God is free like that. Jesus invites us into a beautiful life with him that is like a free swipe in to the pit to enjoy all of its beautiful bounty. Hey, look what he said in verse 28 and 29. They ask him, okay, you said we should work for eternal life. What do we need to do to be doing this work that God requires? And Jesus' response is, believe in him who he has sent. His answer to what do I need to do to accomplish this life with God is just believe on Jesus, to rest in him. They start talking about manna, and this is a story from back when God rescued his people from Egypt, and they didn't have anything to eat in the desert, and they just woke up in the morning, and the ground would be covered with this stuff called manna that was kind of like little cakes of bread. And every morning it was there, and all they had to do was pick it up and eat it. What Jesus is saying is that life with God is like something that just appears before you, and all you have to do is pick it up and eat it. All you have to do is use the swipe and just walk in and eat whatever you want from the salad bar, which had kimchi on it today, and it was mwah, delicious. Life with God is a free gift from God. This is what this means. Eternal life is an accomplishment-free zone. You can try to accomplish life with God, just like you can try to breathe. Like everyone can try to breathe, but in a few minutes you're going to get distracted and think about something else, and guess what? The air is still going to keep coming in and out. You can try to accomplish life with God, but it always comes for free. A writer named Frederick Buechner, he said, this is called grace, by the way, when you receive this thing from God. He says, you can't earn grace any more than you can earn the sweet taste of raspberries. You can't merit grace any more than you can merit your own birth. Y'all are extremely accomplished people. I don't know how you feel about how you're doing, but let me tell you that you are crushing it way more than you could possibly imagine. You are competent. You are able to do so many things. I'm daily amazed at the things that y'all can do and accomplish. And Jesus invites you to a place where all that accomplishing and all that striving and all that doing is irrelevant. It doesn't change anything between you and him. It doesn't change anything about the offer of life. And that means that if RUF, which is a place that you may be thinking, am I going to come back to this thing? That means that if RUF is a Jesus place, that RUF is also an accomplishment-free zone. That means that if RUF is a Jesus place, this is not a place where we come to show our accomplishments or to compare ourselves against others or to compare others against ourselves. It's a place where grace is freely given, just like eternal life. But there's a second way that Jesus is like the pit, salad bar. And that's this, and this is my personal take on the pit salad bar. You haven't truly lived until you have dined at the pit salad bar. There's a sense that you were just walking through life partially alive. And then once you took the two metal bowls and you shook it up, it's almost like you were reborn from the inside out. Until you got the shrimp option today, in which makes you died again and you had to be reborn at the salad bar tomorrow. You haven't lived until you've eaten it. Jesus says this in a couple of different places. He says, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And at the end, he says, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up on the last day. This is potentially the most intense thing that Jesus says in this passage, which is, until you taste this bread of life, you have not truly lived. You have not truly seen life. You have not truly experienced life as it actually is. You haven't been alive until you know him. I'm not putting that into his mouth. That's what he's saying. Because when the scripture talks about eternal life, it doesn't mean, well, when I get to the end of my life and I've accomplished everything I wanted to, when I die, I don't want to go to a bad place. I want to go to a good place. I want to go to eternal life. When the Bible talks about eternal life, it's talking about something that's happening now. That we are either alive to our Creator and alive to the world around us, or we are not. And Jesus is inviting us to be alive. About a month ago, like maybe some of you, I did Barbenheimer, and it was awesome. They were both great. And I went with my lovely bride. Our children were at camp. It was the first time we had ever been without our children for like more than 6 hours. It was awesome. I have a seventh grader, so you can imagine the last 12 years of my life. And meaning that it's been awesome and sweet. And so we went to see Oppenheimer on IMAX, and it triggered a deep existential crisis for me. And I'll tell you why. It lasted about 6 to 8 hours of me lying in bed. Because what happened when I was watching Oppenheimer is it forces you to become aware we create things that are capable of killing hundreds of thousands of people at one time. And like, we don't really think about that too often, you know? Like, we're just like doing class and like picking up some almond milk at the grocery store and just, you know. I was like, I'm actually seeing things as they actually are, and it's scary AF, right? I felt like I was awake for 6 hours until I got distracted again by consuming things and went on with my merry way. What Jesus is saying here is that if we come to him and we taste this bread of life, in a sense that he will wake us up to actually see things as they really are, as bad as they can really be, and as hopeful and beautiful and redemptive as possible. Because the main thing about Jesus is that he rose from the dead. And that means if you actually deal with Jesus, what he's saying is, like, if you know me, you will live in me forever. And death will not be the end to your life. What he's offering us is so much better than like just meeting friends, as beautiful as that is, or having value system or having purpose for our lives. He's offering life that we may never even have known. And when we begin to taste this life in Jesus, what happens is we realize how desperately hungry we have been to really be alive. And if RUF is a Jesus place, it will also be a refuge like that. A place that if we come into it and explore and encounter God, surprising transformative things can happen. And not only that they can happen, we could actually expect that if this is how God really is, that he will actually do things in our lives that we can't possibly imagine what they might be. He might make us into something that's so amazingly beautiful and more full and more grounded and more selfless and more forgiving than we could ever possibly imagine, because he gives us life, real life, because God is real. And, you know, I do love the Pit. But the reason why I say I love the pit more than you do is because I have tasted and seen many other college dining options. And I know that they are all relatively garbage compared to what you eat every day at Wake Forest. Every time I walk into the pit, I'm truly like, I can't believe I'm eating here. Okay? Because I've seen what it's like elsewhere. If you taste life with Jesus, the same thing will happen. Is that you will realize that this is on a completely another level than what I have imagined life and myself, my soul, to be. Because Jesus is offering to fill you up with life right now. In a sense, there is manna that is spread all over this place. And his invitation to us is just to pick him up and to taste. If you're hungry, to take it without price. So what I invite you to do is just where you sit, to close your eyes. And to take a breath. And even if this feels strange to you because you're like, I'm not usually a person that's talking to God, I want you to risk asking God, God, what do I want from you? And also to ask him, Lord, what are you offering to me? Lord Jesus, I often feel that though I have lived, I've never been alive. And what you are offering is everything if it's true. That if we come to you and taste of you, that we will never hunger again. And so, Lord, for my sisters and brothers and for myself, I pray that you would meet us, that you would keep these questions in our heart with you. What do we want from you? What are you offering to us? I guess that's the end of the prayer. Amen. Let's stand up and sing one more song. And then after that, we're going to have...